Radio Krishna 101 and Priya, and then maybe further down the line. When I was a kid, remember, Father, sometimes after he had eaten his dinner or so, and yes, he was very happy with Mother's care, cooking and all that. I think he truly appreciated. She was old traditional housewife and did a good job. And well, we didn't show our appreciation enough, me and my sister, but at least not me. But nevertheless, there he was, Dad, and he has just finished his meal. He leans back in his, well, simple wooden kitchen chair, ordinary Swedish middle class home, and says, "Now I feel good. Now I'm good." And I understood that as he then, because I moved away from home when from my parents when I was 18. So I didn't meet him that much. Since then, actually. Which is, well, that's how we Swedes are sometimes, it seems. But anyway, and I saw a little thing he wrote at his later years, not that long before he passed away, at a too early age of 65, from the usual heart attack. But then I understood, as I thought about it, that yes, it seems he was a modest man, satisfied with the basic needs. When my basic needs are fulfilled, I got a home to stay in. A decent home, nothing extraordinary. Got food on my table, got a good wife whom I love. Couple of good children, which, well, could have been better in this case at least. More appreciative, but never better late than never. So, fresh water to drink, and maybe some other things to drink too, and so on. But still, I would say this is as we call it, sense enjoyment. But as long as it is, and that's the thing I thought about today, it's about our basic needs, and that's included in this life, right? It's not that you shouldn't eat anything. You're not allowed to enjoy any good taste of food. That is Maya. And I know some of us, we were like that, you know, the heavy monks back then. You're not allowed to enjoy food. Eat something that is not enjoyable. And as little as possible. And I would say that is influences from Buddhism or Mayavad impersonalism. Austerity. But we are by our nature, Satchitananda, we're enjoyers. Anandana Sobhyasata, I'm not sure if that verse is fits exactly here, but to me it does. Vedanta Sutra. But that's the thing, that this, you know, food is enjoyable, and it should be. This is a part of life which is and should be enjoyable. But just enough so you are healthy and satisfied, and you can be. And I would say that this is what it means to live in balance. You're satisfied with what you need. Just that we say that often in Sweden, at least it was like that in the older generations, and I don't know about now. You should be satisfied with what you need. To keep body and soul together, or something like that. Modesty. And I can see, I mean, at least it used to be so when I was young. A certain simplicity and well, you shouldn't be greedy or want more than you need. It will just be a burden. And yes, this is much the Vedic culture, and I would say that of many older, wiser cultures on this planet. Christianity, Christian culture too. As of course my old relatives were born out of. But I would say for Yes, I don't know how it is nowadays among the monks and the nuns and the sincere and serious and strict devotees. But don't become like Buddhists. That's not this Vaishnava tradition, this Bhakti tradition. Chant and dance if you like and take prasadam, but offer it to Krishna first and so on. Do things that you like, that are fun to do. Follow your dreams, but bring Krishna with. Take shelter of Krishna. Try and do it for Krishna. And again, it's not about Krishna's standing there behind the screen and looking dissatisfied, saying, "Hey, when are you going to do enough much for me?" Of course, if you're on the real platform of a real personal relationship with Krishna, then, well, that might be how the discussion is going, and you might argue with it. Because that's the thing. Krishna is our best friend, loves us, and is, of course, self-satisfied. Atma Rama, above all. And we hear it and we read it. Krishna doesn't want your offerings and this and that. Hard work. He just wants our love. And love is a mystical thing, isn't it? Because it's something you want to give. So I think you could even say Krishna doesn't need that either, your love. He can handle it anyway. But then it is even explained that way, that Krishna can be sad also. And then it really gets, I would say, for real personalism, which here is the essence of this Bhagavatam. So yeah, live a simple but balanced and good life where you are eating well, but no junk food or too much that makes you sick. Just eat wisely, and you have the Ayurveda and you have the Indian and the Chinese have a great veggie cooking, and you find it all over. Learn how to cook sattvic, good, tasty, healthy, non-violent, balanced food. And eat enough, not too much, not too little, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Same with sleeping, not too much, not too little. And then you will find your life harmonious, happy, healthy. In other words, your material needs are taken care of. But then the next step comes, that you need to then understand that you have more and even other needs than just the material. You are a blissful soul. For whom happiness and joy and friends and fun and solitude when you want it and so on are all natural. That's what life is about. It's just that now we are looking at seeking it in a dream, which can be fun too for a while, but sometimes it gets really strange, which I think it is now. And therefore Prabhupada said, just add this chanting, this japa, meditation, the kirtan, harinam, walking out in the street and singing and dancing. And yes, on Saturdays now, especially when the summer comes, there is harinam going out on in Stockholm. I can really recommend you to join that. We were going to try to keep report on sankirtan.se time schedule and places. There's so much nice we can do. So Prabhupada always said, just add this and cook nice prasadam and offer to Krishna with love and devotion. And then distribute to everyone and invite your friends and look here, happy, healthy, veggie, spiritual food, soul food, we used to call it. And that was the spirit in this Hare Krishna movement when I came and we oldies came. And that's the spirit I picked up and still keep there in my heart. And the one I think is the one that came from Prabhupada. And there are other spirits too that of course tend to develop, but generally coming from immature young disciples who thought they were something big and so on and so forth. So that is gradually sinking back into oblivion while the truth and the real thing lasts, because that's how it always is, isn't it?